and an evil out of racist motivations, you are delusional. What signs did we miss as it relates to this racist lunatic that went and killed these 9 innocent people?
The Sean Hannity Show, afternoons at 2, right before Michael Medved at 5 on 660 AM, The Answer.
Come celebrate at Festival Americana, a free concert this Friday, July 3rd at 7 p.m. featuring the Park City's Presbyterian Church Choir and Symphony Orchestra. We will honor those who have sacrificed for freedom, including a 70th anniversary World War II tribute. Make sure to stay and enjoy Wild About Harry's after the concert. That's Friday, July 3rd at Park City's Presbyterian off Oaklawn at Wycliffe in Dallas. Go to pcpc.org.
660 AM, The Answer.
America's liberty is under assault and women are rising to the defense. It's time for Ladies Can We Talk on 660 AM, The Answer. Common sense talk with women and men about politics and standing up for America. With your host, nationally acclaimed speaker and author, Debbie Georgiadis. Ladies Can We Talk starts now.
Good evening and welcome to Ladies Can We Talk. I appreciate you tuning in so much. Ladies Can We Talk is where all issues are women's issues. And for the next 2 hours, we are going to talk about all sorts of stories, all based around the idea of the show and the idea of my book and all my talks around the country, that America is an exceptional, precious nation, and each of us has an obligation as a steward, as a today at your and our generation, we are the ones speaking out for protecting and nourishing America, protecting it for the next generation. So it'll be just as great in the next generation and for hundreds of years to come. Well, we have lots and lots of stories tonight, and I will just tease them by running through them very quickly. We're going to talk about the marriage ruling that the United States Supreme Court issued a decision this past Friday on in the marriage case. We're going to put that off to the second hour when my leading lady buddies, Dorinda Randall and Chris Davis, were here tonight with me. They'll join me in that discussion. So we'll be talking about the marriage case and many, many implications for American society and culture. I'm going to talk about in this hour the other big Supreme Court ruling that came down this week, the King versus Burwell case, involving essentially Obamacare and really involving the deeper question of who runs this place. What kind of a government do we have? Who makes the decisions facing our society? I want to start actually by talking about the Confederate flag battles that have gone over this past week. And I'm going to dive into that story in just a moment. And then I also want to, I hope, to get to talking a little bit about in this first hour, a poll in America concerning with Muslim Americans talking about what they think about Sharia, which is the brutal, barbaric law that grows out of Islam, that comes out of Islam, that when you see horrible punishments occurring in Middle Eastern countries that are Muslim majority, those horrible punishments, such as stoning and beheading, those come out of Sharia. And I want to share with you a new poll of Muslim Americans who are actual citizens of America, how many of them think that Sharia should apply to them here in America. So we have a lot to talk about. And, you know, the show, I always want to be, I tell my listeners all the time, the idea of the show is to speak up and stand up for the goodness and greatness of America. It doesn't mean I think America is perfect. I don't think any politicians are perfect. But the ideas that formed America are extraordinary. They're important. They are worthy of being defended. They require study to understand why America came to be the greatest nation on earth, why people around the world are repressed everywhere. When given a chance to get away, they want to come here. It has been true for 100 years. It is true today. And so our job is to understand all the building blocks, the bits and pieces that put together made America, so we preserve them. But I want to tell you first, I'll tell you a quick story before I launch into talking a bit about the Confederate flag dispute that's ongoing in America. I want to tell you something about yesterday, which was Saturday. There is a Salem Communications that owns 660 AM. Owns a bunch of stations, and one of them is KLTY, and that station has their annual event. It had it yesterday, and they call it the Freedom Fest. It was at South Fork Ranch, and they just had this massive piece of property, obviously, at South Fork Ranch. They had bands. They had, I don't know how many bands, but it was just a fabulous day of, you know, full of bands, and they had, various booths, different organizations offering their stuff for to share information about the organization. organizations, and they have tons of people. People set up tents. They sit there for the day. They eat up there. They drink. They just have a great, great day. So I had never gone before. I went yesterday, and one reason I went was because my Republican Women's Club took part in hosting a booth just to register voters and to talk up joining, getting active, more active politically. We joined hands actually with it was Park Sage Republican Women, Golden Corridor Republican Women, and a couple other groups. So anyway, it was a great thing. So I went up there for the day, or for a chunk of the day, and I had little flyers I had made about this radio show, Ladies, Can We Talk? I figured, while I'm there, I'll just, you know, talk to people, spread flyers, urge people to tune in to this, to Ladies, Can We Talk? Which is every Sunday, 6 to 8 p.m. So I want to say, first of all, that in this crowd of people, and I don't know how many were there. I'm not good at estimating numbers, but I know other years there have been like 100,000 people there. So it's a huge event. So I was walking around talking to people, and I will tell you that, first of all, the composition of the crowd at Freedom Fest was very representative of the diverse America that we are. There were families, there were certainly Caucasian families there. There were Black families. There were Asian. There were just, there were Hispanic families there. There were people speaking Spanish. There were lots of families, upbeat, happy, positive attitude. And I spoke to all those different people of every background. I just kind of went up and said, hey, I have this radio show, Ladies, Can We Talk? She'll love if you would tune in. I just want to share with you that I think what I was observing yesterday is the real America. The real America. Actually, everyone was getting along beautifully. There was not just just seething tension between the races that sometimes politicians try to convince you exists. And I spoke to numerous African Americans who I said, they say, oh, is your show a Christian show? Because KLTY is a Christian station. I said, no, it's just conservative talk radio, talking to women about standing up for America and celebrating the goodness of America. I had several young Black men say, I love conservative talk radio. I'm going to listen. I had family saying that. And so I'm going to tell you that the picture of an America divided by politics is not true. And I'm going to hit that theme over and over tonight, that many on the American left work very hard to convince the American people that we are a nation divided, that we are a nation just frothing, or just beneath the surface, there's all sorts of suspicion and distrust and racism and hatred. And I'm telling you, that's not the real America. And we need to be stronger citizens and better people than to get sucked into and playing the role that the left tries to make us play. So I did that at Freedom Fest yesterday, and it made me think about this Confederate flag thing. And basically, you probably all heard the story, but there was a horrific, horrific shooting in a church in Charlotte, South Carolina. A young white man who apparently is crazy, mentally ill, but he went to a church. He actually attended a Bible study for about the first hour, and then he opened fire and killed these precious members of this church in Charlotte. He killed 9 people, and he is now in custody, and they were all Blacks. The victims were all Black. And in fact, I think of the 9, 6 were women and 3 were men. So in any case, it was a horrific thing to have occurred. And obviously, just everyone's hearts and prayers go out to those families and the loved ones and the whole community in need of healing. But I want to comment about the real America versus the America the left tries to portray. One thing that occurred is that some of the race-baiting people in the American left went down to Charlotte and tried to stir up the people, tried to replicate the anger they were able to produce in Baltimore, the anger they were able to produce in Ferguson, Missouri, tried to stir up the people to say that, yeah, there's all this racial hatred and this is a racial incident. And you know what? It didn't work. I love that. It did not work in Charlotte, because there was a community of people who are caring Christian people, not willing to be duped by the race baiting of some people in the American left. And they really, the community, the pictures, and I think I talked about it last week, the pictures from the community were just lovely. They were beautiful pictures of people coming together, people of every race and background, expressing love for the church, compassion for people who lost their loved ones, sorrow for all the people whose lives were lost. So there was a beautiful example, but I want to take off from that and say, another outcome after that was that the attention was focused on a Confederate flag that flies over the Capitol in South Carolina. And the Confederate flag, I will say very quickly, is, of course, as I think everyone knows, it was a symbol of the Confederacy. It was a symbol of the defense of the and, you know, we can get all technical. It was actually the flag of the troop, the militia of Virginia or something. But the bottom line is, it's come to be a symbol to represent the Confederacy. And the demand was that the flag be taken down. And so, you know, Governor Nikki Haley and others who reviewed the issue did recommend it be taken down. There's a process. They have to have a vote. But what I want to focus on is this. Number one, the Confederate flag was supported by, created by, and is owned by the Democrat Party. It was the Democrats in America who supported slavery. It was the Democrat Party who pushed slavery, refused to give it up. The Republican Party was formed to end slavery. And I don't know how many of you listening don't know that, but you should research these things. The Republican Party was formed to end slavery. It was the one, and throughout much of American history, the Black Americans, when they got the vote, voted for Republicans because Republicans stood up for minorities. The party of the Jim Crow, the lynchings, the evil segregation of the South, this was all run by the Democrat Party. It's really important because right now what the media instantly did when this Confederate flag issue came up was jump and get on the case of the Republican GOP candidates to say, hey, where do you stand? What do you think about that flag? And, you know, I did not see any instance of Hillary Clinton being asked even once, what do you think about the flag, Hillary? So I'm going to share just a couple of things why it's especially curious that the media didn't think to ask Hillary about this. When her husband, Bill Clinton, was governor of Arkansas, he actually signed a bill keeping the Confederate star on the Arkansas state flag. Arkansas had an annual celebration in which Governor Clinton, Bill Clinton, participated, a celebration of their Confederate history. And you know, did anyone ask Hillary Clinton, why didn't you speak up then? You were the First Lady of Arkansas. Why didn't you? No one asked her that. And I tell you this to say a really important point. This entire Confederate flag, ongoing media, just hysteria, is a manufactured effort to paint the South, which is now the bastion of conservatism, the bastion of republicanism, and the stronghold of Christianity. It is to defame, to paint in a horrible light Southern America. That is what the media is doing. The real facts are it was the Democrats who supported slavery. It was the Democrats who had the Confederate flag. In fact, the Confederate flag flying over the South Carolina Capitol was put there in 1962 by then Fritz Hollings, who later became, he was the governor, he later became a senator from South Carolina. He put it up in the South to signal their opposition to integration, because he liked segregated South Carolina. It was only in 1998, under a Republican governor, that the flag, the Confederate flag, was moved in South Carolina off of the Capitol grounds and onto another place outside. I mean, it's still in the grounds, off of the Capitol building, and put in a flagpole on the south side of the Capitol. So it was taken off the dome, put in the south side. This is so important to understand the history of the Confederate flag, the history of racism, the history of defense of slavery, the history of repressing Black Americans is owned by the Democrat Party. And right now what's happening, in my view, the Democrats, and especially Hillary Clinton, they look at the South and they know it is a stronghold of conservative values, a stronghold of Christianity, a stronghold of Republican voting. And they are trying very, very hard to paint the South in a negative, ugly light because they want to undermine our confidence in Southern values, in American values, in biblical values. Now, I have to tell you, I grew up in New York. I spent a lot of my adult life in California. I've always had a complete aversion to the Confederate flag. I'm glad it's going to be taken down. I don't like it. But I want all of you to recognize how much this issue is going to be twisted over this presidential campaign cycle to continually try to get people lathered into a frenzy, focusing on whether or not, for example, right now at UT, there is an argument that a statue of Jefferson Davis on the Capitol ground, on these grounds of the UT campus, should be taken down. down. And there's a discussion about whether you can have such a symbol of past racism. I got to tell you, we're all getting manipulated by the media, by the Democrat Party, to get focused on symbols of racism instead of focusing on the reality of how much Democrat policies hurt American citizens. They hurt black families. They hurt poor families. Racism in America, the problem in inner city America and the large number of black families in America who are sadly living in poverty is a direct result of Democrat policies. It's a direct result of Great Society policies. It's a direct result of the determination of the government to keep control over people by making them dependent on government. So we're completely getting sidetracked, and we need to stop letting the media and the left pull our little marionette strings and dance to their music. We need to be firm about the policies that actually lift people up, and those are conservative policies. Those are limited government, strong personal responsibility, increasing opportunity in America, supporting freedom and free markets, getting government out of our lives. Those values will help every American of every background, and the Democrat values do just the opposite. So I went a tiny bit long in this segment. When we come back, I really want to turn and talk to you about, I have a lot of observations about the Obamacare ruling by the Supreme Court. We're going to come back and just really quick, we're going to zip to a break here, but going back very quickly, talk about the Obamacare ruling and how truly detrimental it was to the American system of government and the rule of law. So this is Debbie George Jazz. Ladies, can we talk? Come on back after our break.
660 AM The Answer. 660AMTheAnswer.com. Bill Bennett isn't to a level of forgiveness for the South Carolina church shooter.
First of all, is there any regret on his part? Is there any repentance, any sorrow, any saying, you know, that doesn't have to come first before there's forgiveness? I guess not. You forgive anyway, is that right?
Right.
Man, I'm just not there. I'm just maybe a bad Catholic, a bad Christian. I'm not there.
Bill Bennett's Morning in America, weekday mornings at 5, right before the Mark Davis Show at 7 on 660 AM, The Answer.
Here's a quick way to figure out whether someone loves American-style liberty or not. Ask about American exceptionalism, because I'll tell you what American exceptionalism is based on. It's about the idea in the Declaration of Independence that all men and women are created equal, that we have rights from our Creator to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. It's about a Constitution that both limits and defines government's power. It's about the freedoms guaranteed in the Bill of Rights. It's about the value that emerged from the Declaration and Constitution. It's about limited government. It's about morality based in the Bible's teachings. It's about rights of the individual, not the group. It's about self-reliance and opportunity. It's about family structure. It's about free markets, not collectivism. It's about the rule of law. It's about predictable and limited taxes and regulations. It's about optimism, the can-do spirit, the sense we can go as far up as our dreams, efforts, and abilities take us. That is what American exceptionalism is all about.
This is a life-changing message for anyone with sleep apnea who is on the go and tired of dragging around a big, bulky home CPAP device. MiniCPAP.com now offers a portable device that's as small as a soda can and weighs less than a pound. For even more freedom, you can add a battery that's as tiny as a deck of cards. It's called the Transcend Mini CPAP, and right now you can try it risk-free for 21 days by calling 1-800-528-5588. Transcend is the world's first portable mini CPAP device. It gives you the freedom to sleep in total comfort anywhere you are. Our smallest and most advanced portable design ever, Transcend is so small and so light you can fit it in your briefcase or purse to use anywhere you go. It's FAA compliant too, so you can even sleep comfortably while flying. Enjoy the freedom to sleep comfortably anywhere. Call MiniCPAP.com now for your 21-day in-home trial. 1-800-528-5588. That's 1-800-528-5588.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I had numerous credit cards, and I was struggling with paying them off because being a teacher, you don't make a whole lot of money.
If you're in debt and you need help, Call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360 to talk to a certified counselor.
I had heard about Trinity, so I made the call. They took care of all of my credit cards, and now I am completely debt-free.
Trinity will consolidate your bills, stop collections calls, stop late fees, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands.
The people at Trinity are very friendly. They will do whatever you need them to do in order for you to feel better about being in a very difficult place.
If your debt has you down, call Trinity at 1-800-758-5360.
My name is Ann, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
That's 1-800-758-5360.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
Hey, 3 hours a day is all I ask. Join me, Sean Hannity, from 2 to 5 each weekday, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
We return to Ladies Can We Talk with host Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back. You know, the beauty of technology is that I have my phone sitting by me while I'm here, and I get texts. My husband actually texted to say, Charleston, not Charlotte. Sorry, I said the wrong name of the town. I really apologize. Anyway, it's Charleston where that horrific church shooting occurred. I do want to spend actually a few more minutes on the subject of the Confederate flag. And again, I've never had one, don't like it, never wanted one. But I want all of us to not be played by the left that's trying to divert our attention to focus on a flag. The flag's been around 152 years. And the flag is just, I mean, it's a piece of fabric. It symbolizes bad things. I'm happy to have it gone. But it focusing on that actually causes us to fail to focus on the real problems that caused something like that church shooting. And I'm not an expert to look into this young man's behavior. I don't excuse it. I believe he should get the death penalty if they have that. I mean, I just think it's a horrific thing. But we are spending all our time focusing on the flag and failing to focus on how divided America has become since this president was elected. You know, when Barack Obama was elected, it was supposed to be a post-racial America. We're all going to get over it. But the truth is, since he was elected, 39% of Americans say relations between blacks and whites have worsened. Even 26% of blacks say race relations are worse in America. And it's because all we're doing all day long under this president is dividing and creating a more hyphenated and more divided America and talking about America as though it is this place that's just full of suspicion and racism. And it is engendering hatred on both sides. It's engendering suspicion. We all need to rise above and not let this president or the left that is trying to divide us, don't let them do it. I also want to mention, you know, another thing that is just kind of lost in this discussion about the flag and this horrible incident is actual history. As I mentioned a moment ago, the Republican Party was founded to end slavery, and every single important issue to the advancement of the rights of minorities in this country was supported and brought to you by the Republican Party. In contrast, the Democrats actually had heroes of theirs in the United States Senate, KKK members who were heroes. Robert Byrd. Senator Byrd was the lion of the Senate. They had some title. They revered him. Actually, Harry Truman was a KKK member, and Justice Hugo Black. Okay, so let's not let the left, I mean, racism is horrible, should be denounced, but this is a manipulation of American society to have us start thinking that all along we're finally discovering that this has anything to do with the Republicans at all. And I'll tell you something else that just is kind of mind-blowing. This president is trying so hard to create suspicion and just distrust between the races. Is he actually was elected, to be elected the first black president, he was elected with a fair percentage of white voters, obviously. In fact, he got 39% in 2008, 39% of the white voters. That's the same percentage that Bill Clinton got in 1992. He got actually more voters than either more white voters than Walter Mondale got in 84, or Jimmy Carter got in 1980, or George McGovern got in 1972. So let me tell you, this president has support. The idea that he is trying to divide America, when the truth is he's been supported by people who agree with his views, which I do not, but who agree with his views and voted for him. This is people, there's a need to unite around the founding ideas of America and stop letting the left divide us, which is exactly what they're trying to do. And you know, at the end of the day, removing that flag is not going to change behavior. It's good to remove a bad symbol, but it's not going to change behavior. What's going to change behavior is our speaking out, our affirming what unites Americans. And we're not united by having a hyphenated society. We're united around wonderful, beautiful ideas that the country was founded on. So I wanted to be sure to hit that story. And you know, it's kind of a funny thing because I want to talk to you about the decision that the United States Supreme Court made. And there were just huge decisions this past week, as you're all aware. One being this King versus Burwell, which is about Obamacare. And I'm going to tell you that the biggest victim, the thing hurt most by this decision was the concept of the rule of law. And I think you all know, I'll just quickly introduce the decision to you. I think you know the story, and then we'll go to a break and I'll finish talking about it and come back. But essentially, in Obamacare, the federal government, the Congress passed a law saying that subsidies could be paid to people who purchase insurance over Obamacare exchanges only if the state the person lived in had a state exchange. The law is black and white. The letter of the law was black and white. And the legislative history was also irrefutable, unchallengeable. There were plenty of people around the time the law was written who said, yeah, we made the law so that no one who lived in a state that didn't have a state exchange could get subsidies because we were trying to twist the arms of every single state and saying you have to open your own Obamacare exchange. So what the court did is completely flip the black and white letter of the law and say we're going to ignore this. And so when we come back from our break, I'm going to zip off to our break now and come back in a second. But I want to talk about why that's so harmful and actually some of the extremely brilliant language written in some of the dissents. I mean, there were just really, really thoughtful dissents. Scalia had just a brilliant dissent in King versus Burwell, Justice Scalia. And talk about what happens to a society when you start to say we don't really follow our laws anymore, because that's where we're getting to be. And that's what Justice Scalia, among the many things he said. So let's zip off to our break. This is a short segment we're just finishing up here. And we'll come back after the break and talk a little bit more about Obamacare and really what it means to have a Supreme Court that is deciding the law like Congress would instead of following and interpreting the law like its job is. This is Debbie Georges, Ladies Can We Talk. Please come right back after our break.
660 AM, The Answer.
660 AM, TheAnswer.com.
Michael Medved discusses radical ideas to improve the GOP.
People who are, can even be accused of sowing division or hatred right now. That's not a way to build the GOP. But one of the ways to build the GOP is to celebrate freedom, liberty, a whole series of radical ideas.
The Michael Medved Show, afternoons at 5, right before the Wells Report at 8, on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hillary Clinton sounds like she's saying, vote for me because I'd be the first woman president. I'm a woman, a wife, a mom, a lawyer, and an author, and I support the right of women to rise as high as their dreams and talents will take them. But when I look at America in 2015, I want to find leadership for our country, leadership grounded in American-style liberty, faithful to the vision of a nation where all men and women are created equal. I want to vote for someone based on their values and their beliefs, and not their gender or their skin color. I'm not about to vote for Hillary Clinton just because she's a woman any more than I'd vote for a man just because he's a man. Identity politics are tearing America apart. It's not fair. It's not right. Instead of identity politics, we talk every week on my show about the issues that will shape America's future. So keep listening to my show, Ladies Can We Talk,
every Sunday night from 6 to 8 p.m. on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey, everybody. Mark Davis, former friends at USMD Prostate Cancer Center. You know, cancer is challenging enough without having to head all over town for a test over here, a doctor's appointment over there, maybe something else across town some other direction. At USMD Prostate Cancer Center, you're going to one place. And there's one website, 888-PROSTATE.com, one phone number, 1-888-PROSTATE, and one team of doctors, specialists, patient navigators, all committed to making sure that prostate cancer is put behind you so that you can live a long and healthy life. USMD Prostate Cancer Center, the message begins with testing. Every guy needs to get tested, started with that 40th birthday, and after that, clean test, see you next year. If there's something in there, maybe it's so teeny tiny we look at it for a while. It's active surveillance. Maybe it's cryotherapy time, robotic surgery time. They do it all at USMD Prostate Cancer Center, saving guys' lives one guy at a time. So guys, let's go. 1-888-PROSTATE or 888-PROSTATE.com. USMD Prostate Cancer Center. 1-888-PROSTATE or 888-PROSTATE.com.
Our country was built upon the foundation of strong men and women who had a vision for what America should look like decades ahead. From the brave soldiers who battled for our freedom to the police and firemen who keep us safe here at home. These are the people who have built the foundation that can support America for years to come. Foundations are just as important for your home as those men and women are for our beautiful country. And that's why Alliance Foundation is here to help. At Alliance Foundation, they know just what your home needs. It may not be the cheapest quote out there, but it's definitely going to be the one that does the job right. Wouldn't you rather take the time to have it done right the first time and not have to go do it over again? Alliance Foundation knows that you don't put a Band-Aid on something that needs stitches. Alliance Foundation also wants to give all former and current military, as well as emergency servicemen, a 10% discount on all their jobs. So go online to AllianceFoundationRepairTexas.com. That's AllianceFoundationRepairTexas.com.
Do you want to learn how to steal customer credit card information from major retailers so you can buy anything you want?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's award-winning firewalls prevent hackers from taking your valuable data to the bank. Reclaim your network like 150,000 other businesses have. To learn more about protecting customer data and your reputation, visit Barracuda.com/firewalls.
660 AM, The Answer.
More of Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiatis, right here on 660 AM, The Answer.
Hey there, and welcome back to Ladies Can We Talk. I am just so happy you've joined us tonight, and we do have our usual leading ladies in the second hour, Chris Davis and Dorinda Randall, and we're going to save the discussion of the Supreme Court decision on marriage until the second hour. I want to talk a little bit more about the Obamacare decision, and I said before the break, the quick summary is, and you don't have to be a lawyer to understand this, the case was not even close in terms of what should have been decided. The law said you can't give subsidies to individual Americans who live in a state that don't have an exchange, that doesn't have an exchange. The legislative history said we did this on purpose, that Jonathan Gruber said on air over and over and over, find it on YouTube still, said we did that, we put that in there to twist their arms. So what happens? I mean, I try in the show talk a lot about what difference does it make, and I think a lot of Americans, you're busy, you know, especially women, you're busy with, you know, your house and your husband, your job and your kids, and you hear a lot of things happen in Washington, and a lot of things happen in politics. You think, well, what difference does it make to me? I mean, Obamacare is here to stay, so they had to fuss about some more in the court. What difference does it make? I still hold and urge Obamacare be repealed, but that's a story for another day. What matters right now is what you have is in this case of upholding Obamacare, you have justices saying, essentially, we think it's probably better for America to hold on to this law because we have too many people reliant now on the subsidies, and that would really upset the apple cart here in America. So we're just going to go ahead and uphold it. Now, they didn't obviously exactly say those words, but they had to ignore the most basic first-year law student, simplistic analysis to get to the conclusion that it's okay to say that 2 plus 2 is 6, which is pretty much what they said. Look, 2 plus 2 is 6 because we said it is. And so I will tell you, we're going to talk in the second hour when we get on to the story of the marriage case. Talk about what remedies do American citizens have? Because I think people look at the Supreme Court and say, well, it's over. Okay, we lost that decision. We're done. But there are actually some remedies being contemplated by serious thinkers. And I think I want all of us to be thinking about it. But in this case right now, I want to mention Justice Scalia, who is, he's among the three reliable conservatives on the court, is Justice Scalia, Thomas, and Alito. Justice Scalia had a dissent, and he just basically said, and it was just kind of summarizes the whole problem with this Obamacare case. He said, words no longer have meaning if an exchange that is not established by a state is established by a state. I mean, has no meaning. It's just, and then he says, under all the usual rules of interpretation, in short, the government should lose this case. But normal rules of interpretation seem always to yield to the overriding principle of the present court, the Affordable Care Act must be saved. And I'm going to just put a caveat there and say, especially with respect to Justice Roberts. And we're going to talk about Justice Roberts, who needs to have lunch with Justice Roberts, and because there are two of them. They're schizophrenic opinions back to back, and he needs to face reality and decide which person he is. Okay, back to Scalia and his dissent in the Obamacare case. Number three, today's interpretation is not merely unnatural. It is unheard of. Number four, the cases will publish forever the discouraging truth that the Supreme Court of the United States favors some laws over others and is prepared to do whatever it takes to uphold and assist its favorites. And the last point he says, we should start calling this law SCOTUS care. And if you don't know, SCOTUS is Supreme Court of the United States. It's an abbreviation, SCOTUS. So he's basically saying the Supreme Court kind of owns Obamacare now because you saved it. You threw it a life ring when by its own terms it needed to sink. And you know, I just can't tell you, I cannot overstate the importance for everyone listening how significant this is. If the court becomes committed to the idea that they're going to be legislators, that they're going to rethink what Congress should have written, that they're going to decide what the American people probably really want, and they're going to abandon the principles in the Constitution and the well-established principles upon which they're supposed to rely in issuing decisions and analyzing cases. You know, as my good friend put it recently, we could save all the taxpayers a lot of money. We're just going to get rid of Congress, get rid of the House, get rid of the Senate, because it doesn't matter what they say. We'll let the president issue a series of executive orders and we can fuss about them, and then they can go to the Supreme Court and they can adjust them, and that's what we'll have. And it's serious, folks. If you think that this case is just, you know, kind of a aberration, this is a signal from the American left. And I'm putting Justice Roberts in this particular case in the American left. This is a signal we don't have to follow law. We are so agenda-driven that we don't care what the case is. We don't care what the law is. We don't care what the facts are. We're going to do what we want. This is very dangerous, and this is what leads to tyranny. Everyone thinks America is so stable because we have the Constitution, we have three branches of government, there's the checks and balances, nobody can become a tyrant. But the court has the capacity to become the tyrant if they're just going to say, I don't follow law anymore because I don't like that one. I want to pick a different one. So, you know, we have an obligation. We're going to talk in the second hour, as I mentioned, a little bit more about the Supreme Court, but a lot of people talk about how, you know, we're going to have vacancies in the Supreme Court, and people look at things like Justice Roberts, whose decision was truly insane, and they say, well, what's the point in even trying to elect a Republican president, a Republican Senate, if we get these Republican-appointed judges in who are supposed to follow the law versus liberal-appointed judges who are on the liberal left-wing ideological agenda to do whatever the left-wing wants and the laws and principles of America be crushed. So voters will say, well, why vote for Republicans? Look, Justice Roberts, what the heck? He was put in there by George W. Bush, you know, and he's off the reservation. But the answer is this. Take note. The four liberals on this court, Kagan, Sotomayor, Breyer, and Ginsburg, two appointed by Obama, two by Clinton. They never deviate from the left-wing view. all the speculation before every single case that ever comes up, no one says, gee, I wonder what the liberals will do. Maybe they'll go conservative on us. They never do it. They are ideologues. They are not justices. They are not interpreting law. They're not doing their job. So the only possible way to get people on the court who might do the job correctly is to elect Republicans. And, you know, I can tell you there's a lot of Republicans I don't like. I'm happy to criticize them all day long. I'm about principle. I'm about the Constitution. I'm about limited government. I'm about America being preserved as America. But you can't have America and the left-wing view of America in the Supreme Court. You won't have America anymore. So all of you who stayed home because you didn't like Governor Romney as your candidate last time, bear in mind, whoever the candidate is this coming time, this election cycle in 2016, I don't care if he or she is your least favorite candidate ever, you need to vote. You need to get out there and make sure we end up with a Republican president to give us a fighting chance to have someone on the court who might uphold the law. So we're going to go in the next hour and talk about the marriage case, which amazingly, Justice Roberts rediscovered the Constitution very next day and was all exuberant about the importance and vital nature of the Constitution. So that's what I want to say about Obamacare. It's not over. Obamacare is not going to be over, I don't think, until I think ultimately it is a socialist policy. I hold out hope from the bottom of my heart that we can repeal it, and I think we need to. We can't continue down this ugly, horrible path of socialized medicine. It's going to get harder. I'm back onto the Obamacare thing, but we it's going to get harder and harder to repeal it the longer it is entrenched, but we have to be open to doing it. We have to do it. So, you know, we have a few more minutes in this segment. I wanted to just turn and tell you something I was going to spend a little bit longer on, and I won't because I don't have a ton of time left in this segment, but I wanted to mention something. We talked a few weeks ago about in Texas, we had ALAC, American Law for American Courts. We had the Texas legislature, because of the Texas State House and Speaker of the House Joe Strauss killing this bill by his maneuvers in the Texas behind the scenes in the Texas House, killed the bill called ALAC, American Law for American Courts. And the basic idea of this law is that no law from any other country or religion can enter into American jurisprudence. It should go without saying that's true, and that's what a lot of opponents said is we don't need the law, that's already the law. But let me just tell you, there was a recent poll, a very recent poll, just out like 2 days ago, of American Muslims. A majority, 51% of Muslims in America who are citizens, say they should have the choice of being governed according to Sharia. And again, if you don't know Sharia, it is the barbaric, indescribably brutal, dark ages level mentality set of laws that comes out of Islam. Comes out of the teachings of Islam. It is when you see children having their hand cut off for stealing. Yeah, that's Sharia. So let me just say, the idea that people in America, that legislatures can just wave their hand and say, hey, that's no problem. You're out to lunch if you don't understand this. So in addition to that fact, 30% of American Muslims say it's legitimate to use violence against those who insult the Prophet, Muhammad, the Quran, or Islamic faith. And a quarter of Muslims say that violence against Americans here in the U.S. can be justified as part of the global jihad. Nearly one-fifth of Muslim respondents say that the use of violence in the U.S. is justified in order to make Sharia the law of the land in this country. I'm going to put this posting up on Facebook, and always check Ladies Can We Talk Facebook page after the show. I put almost everything up. This idea we could let ALAC go because, oh, come on, get serious. Nobody in America really wants Sharia law. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And we have a problem in Western Europe because they weren't alert. They didn't get on top of it. And so there are a lot more I want to tell you about Sharia, but I want to zip off to our break now because I try in the last segment of the first hour to kind of I call it a cruise through the news. I have some stories I want to at least hit on briefly and then tell you a little more about our second hour, which is going to be really, really good. So I got to zip off to our break, but we have a bunch of great stories coming up and tune right back in. Ladies, can we talk with me, your host, Debbie Georgiatis, and we'll keep on talking about America.
AM, the answer.
660 AM, the answer.com.
Sean Hannity thinks we're missing the bigger picture.
Fine, take the flag down. But I want to point out something here. If you think that flag is going to stop the next Dylann Roof from committing an atrocity and an evil out of racist motivations, you are delusional. What signs did we miss as it relates to this racist lunatic that went and killed these 9 innocent people?
The Sean Hannity Show, afternoons at 2, right before Michael Medved at 5 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hi, Debbie Georgiadis here, and it's time for a Liberty Minute on the subject of legal immigration. America's goodness springs in large part from the spirit of immigrants who left everything behind in the hopes of experiencing freedom and pursuing their dreams for a better life in America, and then made the all-important transition to the role of citizen. Citizenship ceremonies include the moving moment when immigrants become citizens and recite an oath that says they promise to support and defend the Constitution. Constitution and laws of the United States of America, so help me God. Legal immigration honors the individual who honors liberty and honors the American rule of law. It's that simple. Amnesty, especially when conferred by executive order, deprives the individual of earning the honor of citizenship and valuing the privilege of liberty. That's one reason it's wrong. And that's your Liberty Minute on immigration.
How are we supposed to balance the budget when our appliances keep breaking down? Last month, it was the air conditioner. Before that, the refrigerator. What's it going to be next month?
It's hard enough these days trying to keep a balanced household budget. It's even harder when a home appliance or system breaks down unexpectedly. The repair bill could set you back months. But buying a home warranty from American Home Shield helps protect your budget against those unexpected costs because they help pay covered repairs for you. Your air conditioner, plumbing, oven, refrigerator, water heater, and more. For helpful free information, go to ahs.com or call 1-800-322-4147. Service requests are subject to a fee for each trade call. Some exclusions and limitations apply. The truth is, home appliances and systems do break down. So why not get a home warranty and let American Home Shield help pay covered repair bills for you? For helpful free information, including terms, rates, and coverage, go to ahs.com. That's ahs.com. Or call 1-800-322-4147.
Dentist office, may I help you?
Hi, I'd like to cancel my teeth whitening appointment.
Oh, may I ask why?
I found a teeth whitener that works in 5 minutes that I can do from home.
Can I ask what it is?
It's called Power Swabs, and it whitens your teeth in 5 minutes, doesn't leave my teeth feeling sensitive, and it's a lot less expensive than visiting the dentist.
Hi, I'm John Greenhut, the CEO of Power Swabs, and if you want to whiten your teeth 2 shades in 5 minutes and 6 shades in 7 days, then try Power Swabs. There's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour. Just swab your teeth and you're done. It removes stains on natural teeth as well as caps and veneers. Try Power Swabs risk-free by calling 1-800-281-4037. That's 1-800-281-4037. I guarantee your friends and coworkers will be wowed by your new white smile. Try it risk-free and get free shipping and handling today. Dial 1-800-281-4037. That's 1-800-281-4037.
Set sail with Newt Gingrich. Get aboard the Elegant Crystal Symphony for a spectacular 7-day cruise from New York to Montreal. At the same time, enjoy stimulating seminars on politics and investment. Our guests include Newt Gingrich, Mark Skousen, John Ransom, and Chris Versace, and everything's included. We set sail September 13th through the 20th. Join us for the Politics and Your Portfolio cruise. Log on to politicsandyourportfolio.com for all the details. Politicsandyourportfolio.com.
Learn a little something at the start of your day. The Mark Davis Show. Mornings 7 to 10 on 660 AM. The Answer.
Back to Ladies Can We Talk with Debbie Georgiadis on 660 AM. The Answer.
Hey there, welcome back, Ladies Can We Talk? This is the little segment, my first hour. I like to do a cruise through the news. I want to touch on something, and this is Debbie Georgiadis and Ladies Can We Talk, and we have a great second hour coming up, so stay tuned for our second hour also between 7 and 8, where my leading ladies join me. But I want to touch on something that ties into what we were talking about before this last break. You know, Sharia, we talked about Sharia and how Muslims being pulled who are citizens in America like Sharia. Well, I want to talk about something, you know, there's been a lot of conversation in the political arena over the last week and frankly over the last several years about how much hatred is on the left. Excuse me, hate, the left accuses the right of hatred. So, for example, you have two choices. You either support same-sex marriage, or you're a hater, or you're a homophobe, or you support whatever the Islamic community is demanding, or you're Islamophobic. And there's just a constant, and even this Confederate flag thing has been a consistent effort of the left to try to say, well, you know, really the conservatives in the South, the Christians, are kind of haters, that they hate. And this is the answer, especially when they don't have a good answer with that, to some policy point, they can't respond with their, defend their policy view, then it, they refer to, they revert to this, well, they're a hater. Well, I'm going to tell you an example of really hating, okay? One quick example, over in, you know, the Middle East, we have an ongoing, obviously huge problem with ISIS, and we have, you know, cases, stories this past week of just, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people murdered by ISIS. We have, you know, children murdered because they dared to take a bite of food before the end of the Ramadan holiday fast when they weren't supposed to, they were supposed to wait 2 more hours or whatever it was, killed by ISIS. We have story after story after story. So you're seeing a very radicalized Islam in the Middle East in the form of ISIS. And we've had many reports in America about how our southern border, which isn't really a border, it's just like, it's not really like Rula's a suggestion, you know, it's not really a border, it's like a dotted line. People come over it all the time. Stories of how we've had ISIS and other haters of America crossing into America over our southern border. So you have the hatred you see in Islam, in at least in the Middle East, against children, against fellow Muslims who happen to be the wrong sect or said one thing they didn't like. Well, I want to talk to you about the people in America who are trying to speak up about that, are trying to point out the dangers of Islam and why it's really important to have Americans alert and why we should pass things like ALAC before we have a challenge with Islamic law in America. So people speaking up in America are trying to protect Americans, protect this country. And so here's an example of hate to tuck away and keep in mind. There's an organization called the Southern Poverty Law Center, SPLC. And, you know, for years, they're kind of revered on the American left. Oh, yes, they love, you know, they really are wonderful people. They love the poor and the minorities. They're doing all these great things. Okay, SPLC, they may have done good things in the past. They may have done great things. I don't know. One thing they have done now, they actually issued a public proclamation about the 10 women in America most responsible for hatred or suspicion against Islam. They called their article, it appeared in their summer 2015 Intelligence Report magazine by the Southern Poverty Law Center, Women Against Islam, and they actually list names, not addresses, but cities where they live, organizations, a picture of the person, and they rant about each of these women, one being Pamela Geller, whom you've all heard of because she's the one who sponsored the drawing contest, the Muhammad drawing contest. But this is an intentional outing. This is an intentional invitation to Islamists in America. You want to know who your enemies are? Here's the 10 people. As a matter of fact, here are their pictures and where they live. This is a hateful, evil thing to do. And this is the kind of thing the left gets away with picking a nice sounding name like Southern Poverty Law Center. These are radical America haters. That's what they are. They need to be rebuked. I'm not going to read the names of the people, of course, they listed, but these people need to be rebuked and stop honoring them as some kind of noble organization, because they are not. Okay, other stories I want to hit in this brief time I have in this last segment, and then we'll take our top of the hour break and we'll have a fun second hour. But I want to hit a couple other stories just on the kind of a little bit lighthearted skating across the news. But one was, and I don't know how, if I were giving a speech in person, I'd say, how many of you seen Jurassic World? People raise their hand. Well, I have not seen the movie, but I'm finding something extremely entertaining, which is the left, especially, I'm sorry, these alleged feminists are all bent out of shape about Jurassic World. And the reason I've been out of shape and whining is because the main character, the woman main character, in the beginning is a what they think of as a really wonderful character because she's a professional. She wears a professional outfit. She's kind of cold and aloof and businesslike, and she doesn't really like her nephews too much. She has to take them to Jurassic World. She doesn't like them very much. She's kind of cold, and she transforms as the movie goes on into, first of all, I guess she, I can't wait to go see it. I'm going to go see it this week. But she ends up falling in love with this kind of hunky guy who is running Jurassic World. He's some actor. I don't even know his name. But the point of it is, I think he is. My friends here are like, yes, he's actually very handsome. Whatever his name is, the point is she falls in love. She becomes softer and gentler and kinder. She's actually willing to let him protect her. Of course, he does have the gun and she doesn't. So that was pretty good thinking in her part. And she actually becomes warm and nurturing toward her nephews. And the entire point of all this is the left is infuriated that the female star, the female kind of person, you know, getting credit for this movie is showing womanly tendencies like warmth, like falling in love with a masculine guy. And, you know, I have to say, feminism, I'm going to write another book. My current book is Ladies Can We Talk? America Needs Our Vote. I'm writing one, Ladies Can We Talk? Feminism in the 21st Century. Because we, on the conservative side, need to reclaim the concept of feminism. It's great to be. I'm a lawyer. I like practicing law. I like working, actually. And so I'm good with, you know, women who want to be professionals, women who want to be stay-at-home moms. The real idea of feminism ought to be a respect for whatever choice the woman makes. That's the real, that's the pinnacle of feminism, is actually respecting women, actually respecting any choice they make. That's the first point. And then the second point is, what is so wrong with falling in love with a guy and becoming a softer, warmer person? You know, it's funny, I was talking to this 27-year-old, really successful professional young woman, who was saying she didn't like the Jurassic Park depiction of this woman, as though because you are a successful professional woman, you have to be cold and aloof and unpleasant and dislikable. She's like, she had the same reaction for different reasons. Well, we are zipping up against our absolutely mandatory break at the top of the hour. Do come back. We're going to talk about the Obamacare decision, United States Supreme Court, my leading ladies, Dorinda Randall and Chris Davis. And there is so much to talk about. It relates to, I'm sorry, it's the marriage decision. We're going to talk about marriage and what it means for American society. Come on back after our break. Texas is right in the heart of the Bible Belt. Christianity is strong here and really across America, but it's not the faith of ignorant, bitter clingers to guns and Bibles. It's the humble faith of intelligent, hardworking, decent people who love their state and their country and their God. And that's why millions of Americans felt insulted and disgusted when Barack Obama chose a national prayer breakfast to paint a picture of moral equivalence between today's Christians and the actions of today's violent Muslim extremists. The good thing about his comments is that they have spurred Americans to think even more deeply about the place of Christianity in America. This is Debbie Georgiadis. I hope you'll tune in every Sunday at 6 p.m. to Ladies Can We Talk? We explore without apology the goodness and greatness of America based on the faith traditions that shaped it.
Your local pharmacist is also a Health Mart pharmacist, and they're not like other pharmacists.
After Mom's surgery, I was overwhelmed, but I was so relieved. Her Health Mart pharmacist was there to help. They explained her medication and even delivered to her house. Mom got the personal service she needed, and I got something even better. Peace of mind.
Visit healthmart.com to find a locally owned Health Mart pharmacy near you. Health Mart, caring for you and about you.
You're running your business, and we at Wix.com know things can get stressful. But creating your website doesn't have to be. With Wix, you can create a professional website all